mean, I've loved it. I've enjoyed it. I always said when the opportunity came up that I was going to enjoy it, and I have, because how can you not? You know, they're a great set of lads to work with. We've got great staff, so I get a lot of support around us. And it's something, like I've sort of said, something I've been involved in for eight, nine years. So it's not coming into something new. So I felt like it's been seamless transition into the role, but massively supported by the staff and the players, and it's been a great week. You know, we've had a great week. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you do Jern again? Because under-20 World Cup right before that, is there a possibility? Would you like to have that shot to come up against Ibrahimovic?
I applied for the role. I interviewed for the role, and I'm still in the mix for the role. And now it will go to whoever to make some decisions of what happens next.
But is that scheduling possible for that one person to do both then?
We can make anything possible.
Well, that was All White's interim coach, Darren Baisley, following the 2-1 win over China in Wellington last Sunday. New Zealand's goal-scoring drought is officially over, and judging by the smile on his face during the post-match press conference, the caretaker coach is stoked with the results. And why shouldn't he be? China are 80th in the world. New Zealand, at this stage, we are ranked 105th. So on that, it's a pretty good result. So now that we've established that he can produce goals and a winning side, does that put an end to the coaching saga? Is it all wrapped up? To talk about that now is former international Fred de Jong, 21 appearances for the All Whites. You see Fred too on the Sky Sports Kiwi Football Fix. And Fred, of course, is well known as being Otorohanga's most famous product. Good morning to you, Fred.
Yeah, morning, mate. How you going?
I'm really good. Okay, you just might have heard a wee bit of Darren Baisley there talking about his love for the players and putting his hand up for the All Whites. Where do you sit with us now in terms of permanent position?
I think it, for me, it comes down to New Zealand football looking for fresh ideas and a new direction. So if they are, then I think the net would probably be cast wider, and then Darren Baisley would be up against, you know, some other people, and it's a bit of, I mean, it draws parallels probably to the All Black coaching saga, which we've sort of gone through recent times. You know, where you've got Scott Robertson with, you know, all the fresh ideas, Ian Foster, you know, sort of the continuity option. And I think New Zealand football are probably in a similar sort of position. You know, Darren Baisley's been there for the last two cycles, and you know, the critics would say we haven't made the World Cup in those two cycles. The people in favour would say, you know, he's been around, he knows the players. Continuity is a good thing. So I think it probably in the end it just falls. Where does New Zealand football sit in this? Do they want the safe option, or would they like something a bit fresher and a bit more, probably, some fresh ideas coming into the mix?
Of course, Fred, that means suggesting someone perhaps coming from overseas, a slightly more high-profile coach from overseas with more international experience. But then, of course, that comes down to money, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That's true, and it's an expensive business. We've seen that with the John Herdman example with the All Whites. You know, he was, you know, supposedly the preferred candidate. He's on, you know, $700,000 a year Canadian, so that's not chump change. And you know, I know that you know, Anthony Hudson was on around the $200,000-$250,000 mark by the time he left. So you know, there's a big gap there. And so some of these international coaches are on big money. But having said that, the New Zealand job is a hugely attractive job for an international coach, because we will play a decent amount of games over the next cycle. We're pretty much one of the only teams guaranteed to go to the World Cup now, given the format. So, you know, it's a massively attractive proposition for a coach who wants to get to a World Cup and push forward his coaching credentials. So I think, the opportunity for someone to come in and do that is very high, and I think you'd get some pretty good applicants, and they did have some pretty good applicants for the role.
Right, China is ranked 25 places ahead of us, according to the latest rankings from FIFA. So is it fair to say the All Whites played, I won't say out of their skins, but played above themselves on recent performances for those results?
I don't take much stock of the FIFA rankings. I think because the negative with the FIFA rankings is they go back so long. They go back 8 years. And so if you've had a good run a number of years ago, then though that sort of doesn't have as much credit, but there's a big tail in the FIFA rankings. A more accurate ranking system is the ELO ranking. It's like a chess ranking system where you get points for the opposition you play now. So, and a good example of that is who's the highest ranked team in the world? According to FIFA, it's Brazil. According to ELO, it's Argentina. Well, Argentina won the World Cup recently, so I would go with that. If you look at the ELO rankings, New Zealand's 75, China 86. So I would have, you know, you look at that and you go, this was should have been a close fought contest, and it was. And probably New Zealand should have edged it, and they did. So I think that's a pretty accurate synopsis of how the games went. I think I was disappointed in China. I thought they were very negative. Negative coach came here, just wanted to defend and hit us on the counterattack. And New Zealand, so they ceded New Zealand a whole lot of possession, and we're good at that. We're good at holding the ball. We've got a good young team who knows how to hold the ball. And so that bodes well for the future. I think it's just at the pointy end of the field, we're a little bit short. And that really showed.
Well, it's a little bit short to the point where the goal drought was broken with an own goal. I think that's fair enough to say. A little bit short's good because we need targets up front. And without Chris Wood, who is a genuinely tall target, there doesn't appear to be a lot in the offing, Fred. And this is your area of expertise, of course, in terms of when you played. A target up front and then a result at the end of it. Where are we going to find this more consistently?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to find, you know, we've got half the equation. We can hold the ball and we can move the ball up the field comfortably. And historically, we haven't been able to do that. So we're in a much better space in that regard. We've got good midfielders. We've got a bunch of players playing in good leagues around the world. Ideally, they'd be playing a little bit more, but, you know, they're in good environments. So that's really good. So I think the trick now is to find different ways of scoring goals. And I think there's probably a little bit too much of a reliance on get it wide, sling it in, and Chris Wood will get on the end of it. And so I think with the creativity and the players that we have and are probably going to be around for this cycle, I think just working out ways to get in behind opposition defences is a key part of what the coach needs to develop, and just holding and really creating sustained pressure on the opposition goal, I think is another element that we need to bring to bear into our play. We can't be a one-dimensional team because we've seen in the past Chris Wood is injured. You know, he was injured here. He was injured against where was it? Who was it? Mexico? Mexico? No, Peru. He was injured in the Peru games. So as soon as you take him out, if he's your number one weapon, then you're struggling. So we just have to come up with different ways of scoring goals and use the firepower that we have got in the team to somehow create those goals.
Just thinking about a strategy there, because if you look at the All Whites and the lack of goals that we score against quality opposition, we're only ever really going to, if we do win a match, we're only going to win it by one goal. Are we trying to create too many chances up front in a weird sort of a way? Are we trying to do too much in the search for those goals, or should we just realise the fact that everything that we win is going to be very tight and just wait?
No, I think the approach is you take a different approach into the different games. I think say a team like China, we should just throttle them to death. You know, they should not like, and pretty much we sort of did that until Tommy Smith got sent off in the first game. Second game, you know, we held 60-something percent possession. We'll make that 80%, you know, 70, 80%. Just kill the game off for them, you know. And so they don't even get a look in because, I mean, it was disappointing they scored a goal at the end. You know, I think for teams that are ranked the same as us or below us, then I think, yeah, we just have to completely dominate the ball and don't let them get any piece of it. For teams that are better than us, I think we have to work out a way to transition the game much better. And so, to your point, yes, we have to defend as block, and then we have to flood forward with numbers. And I think that's the second bit that we don't really do. We throw two or three players up there and go, see what you can do. But, you know, maybe if you look at, you know, a good example would be the Liverpool side under Klopp, the early days of his tenure. You know, boy, you'd get four or five players in the box just streaming forward on a quick counter-attack. And so maybe that's the sort of, and I think this winds all the way back to the coaching decision. Is this the sort of thinking that New Zealand football are after? You know, exciting, dynamic, a change in approach, or are they happy with the status quo as it is now? Because, you know, under Darren, it's a similar players, similar coaching staff. So how can you expect anything other than a similar result? And that's not a negative to Darren because, you know, he is a very safe pair of hands. It's just what are you looking for in the national team?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, can we just chop it back a level to the A-League, Fred, which, of course, you keep a close eye on as well. First of all, before we talk about the possibility of this new Auckland club, this Auckland franchise, the Phoenix, how are you rating them at the moment?
Oh, the men are very good, the women are very poor. So I think, the men, I think, have a good opportunity to finish top four, and, you know, they just need to hold it together. I think the fact that a bunch of their players are going to leave at the end of the season is a bit of unsettling, and I think you've seen that in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, I think they have a good shout at getting top four. Ideally, you make top two because then you get a rest and you're one win away from the final, just under the playoff system, the typical Aussie playoff system. I think they've had a very good season on the back of one of the best imports they've ever had in Oscar Zavada. I think he's, you know, scored 12 goals so far. Very, very good. Very good player. Good, great finisher, good in the air, strong. And, you know, hats off to Ufuk Kale for finding another diamond.
Right, let's look at this other proposed franchise based out of Auckland and sooner rather than later, actually. So it's going to take quite a rate of progress to get it going. Are you confident about it? We have the scope for it?
Come on, Smithy. Dip your hand in your pocket, mate. It's only 20 million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, we'll both give up our salaries and they'll still be about 19.5 million, 6 million short. So, free money,
mate,
eh?
You're a hell of a lot more than I am, then.
Money. That includes the pension, just by the by.
Oh, God. You bloody leaked that one out, didn't you, mate?
Oh. No, it's not. Hey, look, it's pension. No, it's pension. It's very lucrative.
It'll be the money, mate. It'll come down to the money. But it's a very, for me, it's a hugely exciting proposition. I think the way the APL, which is the players' league, the clubs that run the A-League, the way they've proposed this is really interesting, and the fact that they haven't gone to a single club like Auckland City, which would be the most logical, or, you know, one of the other clubs in the region, and gone, here you go, here's an opportunity for you to step up from National League into A-League. They haven't done that. They've said, Auckland, Here's an opportunity to have a franchise. What can you do? So it's for, they don't want to brand it a single club, because they've had problems with that in Australia, where that alienates the other clubs in that region. And so, you know, interesting concept, way of doing it. Hopefully, there's enough money that comes forward to make it to get it off the ground. As you say, the timeframes are very short. They're talking about having it up and running by the end of next season, so probably August, September next year. And I think for football in New Zealand, it's a massive opportunity, because I think at the moment there's a huge pull to Wellington for players if they want to advance their professional career. And I think having an Auckland option and internal competition in football in New Zealand would drive both clubs. You know, would drive the Phoenix to do better, and would also, there would be a massive incentive for the Auckland-based franchise to really show what they can do. So, yeah, I was really, really hopeful that people find the money and collaborate to put forward a really strong Auckland franchise. But I think the key ingredient in all of it is that whatever happens, they have to win. And they have to win early, because there's, people still remember the Kings, the Knights, and how that fell apart at the end. And I think you've got to sort of expunge those thoughts really quickly by winning and being successful quickly with the franchise.
Fred De Jong, you took a lot of penalties over your playing career. Here's an interesting one for you. International Football Association Board are bringing in rule changes from July 1 to prevent goalkeepers from taunting. That includes not touching the goalpost of the net, not delaying the execution, and not unfairly distracting the kicker, and no disrespectful behaviour. So is this the end of Andrew Redmayne's career?
No, not at all. I think he'll be safe. He may have to tone it down slightly, because boy, he's about 6'8". He touches the bar like with his head almost. It's like, but I read those rules yesterday, and the only one that's non-subjective is you can't touch the post, the bar, or the net. Everything else in that is completely subjective, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they police that. And where the line sort of gets drawn. I mean, this is, you may as well call this the Martinez rule from the World Cup, because, you know, some of the antics that the Argentinian goalkeeper got up to in the penalty shootouts, of which he won a few, especially against the Dutch, stepped over the line. And I think this has been brought in to stop that. But it also, it's like, what's the problem here? You know, I mean, 90% of the advantage sits with the penalty taker. So anything that the keeper can do probably just rights the balance slightly. And is this really a massive issue? I don't see it. I don't see it as being something that FIFA need to overly police. I just think it's... What you're going to make the guy stand still? You know, it's just like it takes another element of sort of entertainment out of the game, and I think that's
sure
that's
does.
Sad.
I think you're right. I mean, they've got to stay behind the line. Though. I mean, what? I mean, you're just really saying, have the goal and let's move on. Hey, look, Fred, it's been great to talk to you. Fred, hey, it's been great to talk to you. You know you're going to have a great day, because the Netherlands knocked over Gibraltar this morning 3-0, and that's a good result for you.
I've had Marty Devlin texting me, mate, saying, oh, Gibraltar, don't get nervous. This is after Holland capitulated 4-0 to France the other day. I thought, oh, France, Holland, Netherlands, that'll be a good game. That'll be tight. Yeah, it's 3-0 after 25 minutes. It was like, what the hell? What am I watching here? Guys, you got to defend. So Gibraltar, look, you take what you can get. You take what you can get, mate.
Fred, been a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And that little mathematical equation I made, it wasn't my salary I was highlighting. It was the fact that I made a mathematical cock up in terms of my calculations. That's all.
I took a zero off mine, mate. So that's all right. You're
in
the clear, mate. I took a zero off mine.
Good on you. Great to chat, mate. Thank you very much. A lot of fun.
Excellent, mate. Cheers, man.